listening to The Takeout.
Welcome to your Tuesday Takeout Outtake Especial. I'm Major Garrett, joined as always by the world's greatest podcast sidekick, the political director of CBS News, Steve Shigaris. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Major.
And we are joined at the microphones by Bob Schieffer, CBS News legendary correspondent, former moderator of Face the Nation on CBS News, and moderator of many, many presidential debates, and Nancy Cordes, congressional correspondent for CBS News. Hello, Bob. Hello, Nancy.
Hey, hey.
Hello.
Bob, we're going to have a little fun here in the especial version of The Takeout. You play country music. You love country music. If you are going to be traveling and you want to load up your musical device, whatever it is, with your favorite country tunes, what are they?
Well, anything that George Jones sings. I think, like a lot of people in country music, you know, Vince Gill said one time, all of us want to sound like George Jones, and so anything that George does, and he was a friend of mine, great guy in his later years once he got himself all straightened out. Brad Paisley is a great friend of mine, and I love anything he does.
How does it become that you achieve friendships with legends like Brad Paisley and George? How does that happen?
Well, because of the highlight in my life thus far, and that is in 2008, our little band, Honky Tonk Confidential, was invited to appear on the Grand Ole Opry. And, you know, I was moderating a presidential debate the next week, but I was a lot more nervous walking out on that Ryman Auditorium stage than I was the next week when I moderated the presidential debate. I came on after Tricia Yearwood and before Brad Paisley. And Brad then called me and our backup singers out to sing Alcohol, which he always closes his shows with. And Brad and I just became good friends, and we just got to know each other. And then I did some stories about George Jones for Sunday Morning. I just did one recently about Willie Nelson, which I must say was one of my all-time favorite pieces. And, you know, you just kind of get to know people. The great thing about people in country music is they're just generally just real people. You don't get a lot of divas and all that kind of stuff. They're just good folks, and I love being with them.
You talked about being nervous going on stage at the Grand Ole Opry, which raises this question for me, because there are a lot of things that we do in broadcast journalism that have a lot of nerve-wracking components to them. There's a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, but it's our avocation. It's our profession. Country music is a hobby and a passion of yours, but it's a private one. And I wonder if it's more nerve-wracking to take that private passion out publicly than your regular day job. Did you feel that?
Of course. Of course it is. But it's also, when it works, it's also more fun. I mean, and I just love to write songs. And I can play about two chords on a guitar. But Willie said, you know, country music is really three chords and the truth. So you don't have to know too many chords. Willie knows a lot of them. I just love it. I mean, I've always written poetry, kind of, you know, mostly doggerel. But I have a new song called "Do You Think They'll Know Your Name Up There in Heaven?" And I'll just say a little of it. You think they know your name up there in heaven? Do you think you'll be a big celebrity? Will you be a VIP or have to show ID? Do you think they'll know your name way up there?
Those are
the kind of songs. I mean, they're corny and all that, but you know, you have to have a little grain of truth. And I got to thinking about what the gates of heaven would be like one day when I was sitting in the airport. And you know, the way I see it, there are two lanes up there, first class to the left and everybody else on the right. But the first class lane at that gate, I think, probably has a different set of people than we'll often see at the first class lane
in
down
real
here
life
on Earth. And of course, once you get inside, there's no danger they're going to grab you and pull you out of your seat.
Exactly. Speaking about airports, Nancy, you grew up in Hawaii. You make a lot of flights to Hawaii.
A lot of United flights.
I was actually wondering, aside from hula dancing, your performance history, do you have a history as a performer?
Only in the car. In fact, this morning, I was embarrassing my children with a Madonna rendition of Open Your Heart.
Wow.
And they were suitably embarrassed. I have a terrible singing voice.
You didn't dress up like Madonna, just singing.
No, I mean, you know, it just came on the radio. And how can you not rock out to that gem of our childhood? But
you know, I got to tell you, Nancy, wait till you get grandchildren.
Not in front of the kids, Nancy.
I mean,
please.
My grandchildren who can really sing. I mean, one plays a piano and the other plays a guitar. And I mean, they're really singers. They go get under the bed when I start singing. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, no, it's embarrassing. And I also did community theater growing up in Hawaii with my dad.
Ah.
So we did Guys and Dolls. We did Pirates of Penzance.
Most enjoyable role for you in community theater?
I was one of the policemen in the Pirates of Penzance.
And you enjoyed
and
that.
And a gambler in Guys and Dolls. And I was only like 13 years old. So
right.
That was.
Did you understand all the gambling lingo?
Not back then.
Bob, you talk about poetry. You've also got a book that's coming out in the not-too-distant future. Tell us just a bit about that.
The name of the book is Overload, Finding Truth in the Deluge of News. And basically, it's about journalism in the digital age and how it's changed. And this new landscape that we're all operating in these days. And it's totally different. I mean, it's not only the way we get the news that has changed. For example, we've lost 126 newspapers in the last decade. Others are really struggling, especially at the local level. The big newspapers, the New York Times and the Washington Post, have completely reinvented themselves. They're no longer newspapers. They're media companies. They put out 24/7 digital product. They're both reaching sometimes as many as 70 million viewers in a month. I mean, this is unheard of. But they have figured out how to survive. And I think local newspapers are going to, if they learn from them, I think they too are going to survive. But if we lose local newspapers, we're going to have corruption in this country like we have never seen. Because it's the local newspaper that keeps an eye on local government, and that's very important to our democracy.
Speaking of journalism, well, we're at Tradici Enoteca eating breakfast across the street, literally from the CBS News Washington Bureau. Bob's office for the last 48 years.
Yep.
Please tell us the story about the first day you walked into the Bureau before you were even an employee.
Well, I'm the only person who ever got hired at CBS News by accident. I had come to Washington. I'd been hired by a company called Metro Media that was going to form the Fourth Network. After I had worked at the Star-Telegram, I later went to work at local television and worked there just a short time, and I was hired by this company to come to Washington. I got to Washington, and they were going to form the Fourth Network. The financing for that collapsed, and I found myself working out at the local station out here on Wisconsin Avenue. And it was not as good a job as I had back in Texas. And I went to my wife, Pat, and I said, you know, we've made a terrible mistake. We need to go back. And she said, well, if you hadn't noticed, I'm pregnant. Could we at least wait until the baby comes? And
had you noticed?
I had noticed, but probably I was so ambitious at that time of my life that I didn't say much about it. And so, anyway,
was that era, ladies?
I was not a very nice guy in those days. One day, just while I was waiting, I decided to come over to CBS. I'd applied to the New York Times, the Washington Post, CBS, NBC. I'd never been able to get an appointment, even at CBS. And so one day, without an appointment, I just went over to the Bureau across the street here, walked up to the second floor. There was no security. And the first person I saw, I said, I'm Bob Schieffer. I've come to see Mr. Small. He was the Washington Bureau chief. And the woman said, oh, yes, Bob, come right in. I was ushered into his office and subsequently hired. I found out later that I'd walked in on another person's appointment. They thought I was somebody else. They thought I was Bob Hager, who was working at a local station here in Washington and later spent a long career, very, very good reporter at NBC. And I asked him one day if he had had an appointment. He said, yeah. He said, that's what it was. I did, but said, you know, nothing ever came of it. And NBC offered me a job, so I went to work there. So it turned out that Mr. Small did actually know my boss back in Fort Worth, and he called him, and he gave me a good recommendation. They thought the problem would be I had a Texas accent, but anyway, it all worked out. But that's literally true. I walked in, And they thought I was somebody else.
That is what legends are made of, yes. Ladies and gentlemen. Life can work in very unexpected and unpredictable ways. Nancy, before we let you go and before we wrap up this Takeout Outtake Especial, I was going to ask you a moment ago. You're flying to Hawaii. You've got a long trip ahead of you.
Yep.
If you're going to take a favorite book, what is that favorite book? And if you're going to put your music into whatever you listen to your music in, what would it be?
So I just read on the airplane Big Little Lies, kind of the ultimate beach read for you dads. It's a book about how heinous moms can be at at their kids' school, and lots of intrigue. And it was just made into a very successful HBO miniseries. So that was it was so true to life that I had to keep putting it down because I was getting too, you know, too disturbed by it.
A little too close to home.
Yes, and then, you know, probably listen to music on my iPhone. But the greatest thing about the flight to Hawaii is that you can just sit there and watch 5 movies if you want to, from start to finish. And I never get to watch movies. There's never time. So I watched Doctor Strange. God, you know, there were like 3 or 4 movies that I hadn't seen that I caught up on. And it's great. And, you know, when you have little kids, if they get to have uninterrupted screen time, they don't bother you at all. They just sit like this for 10 hours. You know, just looking at, you know, whatever movie they're
otherwise known as parental bliss.
Yes.
Those
amazing
moments like that.
Amazing.
That's Nancy Cordes, CBS News congressional correspondent. Bob Schieffer, legendary CBS News correspondent and former host of Face the Nation and moderator of many presidential debates. I'm Major Garrett. You've been listening to the Tuesday Takeout Outtake Especial. And I'm joined, as I always am, by the world's greatest podcast sidekick, Steve Shigera. Steve, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Major.
And you've been listening to The Takeout.
The Takeout is produced by Arden Farhi, Nick Feynman, and CBS Radio News. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and visit takeoutpodcast.com for more information.
And we don't mind that it's 115 degrees in this room, right? Do we mind? It is hot in this room, but you know what? That's okay. We lose a couple of pounds, not the worst thing in the world, right?